This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run. It's 7:06 on Tuesday, the 28th of December. I'm Shazana Mukhtar in studio today with Wong Xiaoning and Philip C. We turn our attention to the global markets and how they ended trading yesterday.
Nespresso, bringing you the perfect blend of global market analysis and insights.
And the US markets had a fantastic day. If I'm not wrong, it's the 69 record high. That's what they've called it. And it's the second highest ever in history. So the Dow was up 1%. S&P 500 and Nasdaq was also up 1.4%. Meanwhile, in Asia, a bit of a mixed day. Nikkei was down 0.4%. Hang Seng was up 0.1%. Shanghai down 0.1% also. Hong Kong was up 0.1%, while Shanghai was down 0.1%. Straits Times also down by a similar quantum, while the FBM KLCI was up 1.2%.
That's big.
And I looked at the names that were up yesterday. It was all the glove makers. So Top Glove was there and also Hatta Lega.
Interesting correlated with US growth.
Yeah, I think maybe in Malaysia, a little bit of the concerns over the Omicron virus and maybe a bit of bargain hunting as we get across to the new year, because bear in mind, glove sector was the laggard, is still the laggard actually.
Yeah, but you know what was very interesting? I was just looking at the 10-year chart. This level is the lowest in 10 years we've been actually.
The FBM KLCI?
Yes.
Yeah, our markets have really gone nowhere, sadly.
Well, joining us on the line now for analysis on what's moving markets, we have Song Seng-Woon, economist at CIMB Private Banking. Seng-Woon, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us today. With major markets either closed or in a holiday mood, equity markets are looking rather subdued. How do you see U.S. stocks moving in this last week of the year? Are there any potential shocks the market needs to look out for?
Well, I suppose anything can potentially move market sentiment, especially year-end. Very thin trading volume. I think just to put it into perspective, I mean, in the U.S. market, the volume on the U.S. exchanges yesterday was just about 8 billion share compared to roughly around 12 billion average for a full session over the past, say, 3 weeks also. I suppose if we look at this trading holiday period, it's really... there's no bad news or too seriously bad news. And the initial shock from Omicron, I think, has subsided. That hospitalization rate doesn't appear to be any worse. So I think that gave people some degree of confidence. Also helps, I suppose, for traders in this current holiday mode, is that they're watching whether U.S. consumers are still spending. And it looks like they were or they are, according to, I think, MasterCard report, retail sales in the U.S., I think so far, this year-end period, about 9% on year growth. So I think that also gave markets an excuse to continue to party on despite the Omicron virus. So coming back to, is this rally going to continue? I suppose if no other bad news, even though I think President Biden did admit that they don't have enough tests around for the virus. But for now, I think it's just party on until the bell drops in New York Times Square.
Well, please invite me to your party. But as you said, right, no news is good news. But there was actually one news that came out, though. There was a major U.S. economic indicator out this week, right, about initial jobless claims. Want to get your perspective on the outlook of the labor market, you know, and what the data is expected to show?
I suppose that relates very simply and very closely to what we talked about earlier, retail sales. If no money, no party. So for now, it looks like on the U.S. side, cost of borrowing is cheap. U.S. businesses wanted to hire, but not enough people attempted to work, continue to, I don't know, maybe they make, many of them make enough money from the market or from crypto or anything else except to work. So workforce continue to be, you know, wanting to hire, but not finding enough people. So that suggests that as we've seen in the trend with either the weekly claims or continuing claim improvement steadily and against the backdrop of still spending. So that would suggest still a very robust U.S. economy, which is why I think we'll talk about this before, that the U.S. Central Bank should be dialing back a lot of these stimulus from the market, but they continue to be a bit kiasi-kiasu. And as a result, which we continue to see what we are seeing at the moment on a market standpoint. Liquidity is still there, dialing back a bit, but they're still plentiful. Interest rate is still extremely low, so that's good for risk takers. So for now, it's party on, it seems.
But I'm a little bit curious because when I look at the year-to-date returns, right, S&P 500 up 27%, NASDAQ up 23%, and Dow Jones up 18%. And if I start 2022 on a clean slate, am I going to see this kind of returns next year? Is it possible?
Good question. I mean, a betting man, you know, the U.S. stock market on track for third straight yearly gain. The benchmark, the S&P 500, I think, poised for the best 3-year performance since maybe even before you were born, since 1999.
I'm much older than that.
Much younger. So as a betting man, are you going to be taking some money off the table, or are you going to be still, you know, throwing more in? I'll be a bit more wary. I'll come back to what I think you were guys were talking about earlier. The Malaysian market, Asian markets, or emerging markets have to lag behind. So maybe it's our turn come 2022. Maybe a bit early, but, you know, might want to consider that.
And looking at one of the trends of the year, that is the semiconductor shortages, we've seen this really affect US companies in unprecedented ways this year. Do you see tech players in this part of Asia benefiting from this? And will this trend continue into 2022?
They have. I think certainly industry analysts have been warning about potential oversupply when a lot of these new investments turn up with extra supply. I think we're still somewhere there. I think we're talking about even Malaysia seeing big slice of the action of, as far as chip production is concerned, with new investment coming in. I think we may be talking about maybe not so much next year, but perhaps a subsequent year. But even that remains, because we cannot just draw a straight line with regard to the demand side. Remember, we are still in the early stage of a recovery cycle. You know, industries such as auto sector still requires, I think, plentiful chips, which is why this year, despite all the increased demand, auto sales globally have been down because of the lack of supply. I think the only segment which had grown significantly had been in the EV markets. They depend less on chips. You just freaking put batteries in the car and off you go. And I think global EV sales have been very strong. So coming back to one very critical segment, semiconductors, for the auto side, I think it still remains strong. Will it spill beyond to others? I would say it's probably still be okay, but we will be mindful to what extent and when all this new supply and increased supply come on, and whether the demand side continue to be able to soak up the supply. So we can still be talking about this every other month for the next 1 year.
And Singh, just to shift to the other spectrum of financials, right, we see the yield curve flatten quite a bit. Do you think that's an area to enter?
Very interesting. I mean, we should be at the, we are at the early stage of a growth cycle, but yet, you know, at the bond market setting that, yeah, this may not be on solid ground yet. You know, we may see rates going up, but we may not see, you know, interest rate going up significantly because of the Omicrons and maybe new flare up in the new year. So it's a very interesting dynamics that we have now in terms of how traders in the bond market are still very fearful that this new growth cycle may still not take off just yet, whereas on the equity side, it's obviously very much focused on current. Oh, people are still spending. Why do we be bitter? We'll be traveling, you know, around the world, etc. And companies will be earnings even more money, etc. So I think this dynamics is still playing out. I still think it could still be volatile in terms of how sentiment could shift, but I'm still fairly confident that as we know more about the virus, as more treatments and medication roll out, vaccination rates increases, we will get a better handle. And I think we will see a more normal yield curve coming through than the still very flat one that we're currently witnessing.
Seng Woon, thanks very much for joining us this today. And a Happy New Year to you ahead of the New Year celebrations this weekend. That was Song Seng Woon, economist at CIMB Private Banking, giving us his take on some of the trends moving markets this week and beyond.
Yeah, I think he says party on. Party on, which is basically, you know, it's the era of cheap liquidity despite the fact that the Fed is going to raise rate marginally. But if you look at asset class returns, right, the reality is that equities still provide you probably the best of the lot. Now, he does question about bond yields because the bond market actually is indicating that they are thinking it's recession time and they are behaving like it. So there's a bit of this, the correlation has kind of broken down. So I guess, you know, what do you want? So, but he does give us some alternative investment ideas, and one of which is emerging markets here in Asia, because we haven't performed as well, especially Malaysia. We just look at it, down 6% on a year-to-date basis. Hong Kong down 14% on a year-to-date basis. Of course, Singapore is up 9%, Australia's up 12%, but even Japan and Korea, they're only up 4%. So maybe we might see some flow into emerging markets for a change, especially if you like made 20% over in US markets, right?
Maybe it's our time to shine.
Maybe. And as Philip said, we've been what, in the doldrums? This is the lowest in 10 years for the FVM KLCI, right?
Absolutely. And I think, but I must say that the correlations are all off, right? The bets are all off. I mean, in the past, we talk about interest rates or markets, they always were inversely correlated. That clearly isn't the case.
Yeah. But Malaysia's issue is what will attract investors. If we look at how the FBM KLCI, the composite index heavyweights, they tend to be very old economy, right? So you're looking at financials, you're looking at telcos, all sectors that haven't done really that well, except for maybe financials, but not so much in Malaysia. So, you know, what will drive investors in?
I fully agree with you. We had this conversation last week with Duff and Phelps, right, about the IPO markets in Asia Pacific. And if you compare and contrast Malaysia versus Singapore and Indonesia, the main stocks at IPOs were all tech companies.
Yes. Whereas for Malaysia,
our major M&A was a telco between Celcom and Digi. That's it, right?
Yeah, it's very old economy,
old economy stuff, right?
Yeah. So for FBM KLCI to actually kind of gain some traction or some investor interest, the component stocks have to change, or at least the new listings have to be more exciting.
Nespresso starts your morning right together with the Morning Run, bringing you the perfect blend of global market insights with expert guests.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.